This is Billy Brim, and who are you?
Shelly Brim Oaks.
And who are you, Shelly Brim Oaks?
I am Fruit of the Womb.
Which one?
Number one.
Number one. Kent and I were blessed with four children, and Shelly's the oldest one. She's a minister and of the Gospel Rhema graduate and singer. You hear her at the beginning of the program. She knows to move with the Holy Spirit.
Thanks,
and
Mom.
She knows the Word of God, whom she learned it under the same mentors I did, really.
Mm-hmm.
Because you were like 9 years old when I came to know Brother Hagin, when I was baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then you went with me to all the Sister Jeannie Wilkerson meetings that she would have. And then you grew up in that church in Collinsville.
Oh, yes.
That Rachel Tifa Tiller helped to birth that church. What are your memories of that church in Collinsville?
Well, I remember Rachel the first time I saw her. She was she had lots of black hair, and she was strong. She walked with authority across the parking lot. And I remember she's the lady during the service that when she prayed, it was so loud through tongues and interpretation that, just the hair on the back of my neck would stand straight out. But it was glorious.
And yes, right.
I loved it.
She actually moving in Brother, our pastor at that time was Brother Cooper Beatty.
Mm-hmm.
And you remember as we went there and started going to that church, how it changed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'll tell the story right now of her birthing that church. Now, we're going to be talking today about a kind of prayer, kinds of prayer. The Bible says in Ephesians 6, there are kinds of prayer. There are prayers that you pray with your own understanding, but we're going to talk about praying in tongues and praying in the Spirit. Now, Brother Hagin said, I heard him say, that a lot of charismatics never get over into praying in the Spirit, in the spirit realm, because they really don't pray long enough to get there. Now, Shelly, what did Rachel call that?
Well, she called it stepping over the log.
Stepping over the log. Mm-hmm. When you, and she meant by that, when you move from a realm of natural praying, even if praying in tongues, but then you move over into mm-hmm. that other realm. And that church that we went to in Collinsville, Oklahoma, it's still there. It's still the foundation of our ministry, a glorious church fellowship now it's called. When Rachel was coming there back in the 70s, it was a fringe church, a Quaker church. And Rachel was a woman of prayer. She was married to her husband, Horace, and Horace was an alcoholic. And Rachel learned to pray in Dallas, Texas. She would go down to this church I don't know if it's every morning or not, but she'd go at 9 o'clock on the day she went for the women's prayer meeting. And whenever she finished praying, it would be dark. There would be no women left. There was only the janitor. And she'd wonder what happened to everybody, but Rachel had stepped over the log. And in that kind of praying that she did, she was such an expert at it.
Mm-hmm.
And one of her trophies was Horace. And God would show her things about him, where he was, if he was maybe drunk in a bar, and maybe gone for days. Well, he'd show her which bar it was and where he was sitting and what table, and she'd go into that dark place and get him out. And God showed her and Horace, and as two bulldogs pulling like on a rag, like a tug of war. And the Lord said, if you'll hold on, you'll win. You'll tug him over. And well, we know that she indeed did.
Oh, yes.
And he came across and lived his life for God. And it was a wonderful testimony. But when Horace was still drinking and they were living in Texas, and I think I know he had a broken arm. I cannot remember if he had broken ribs or not. But the Lord told her, there's a church in Oklahoma I want you to birth. Now that means birth. Pray it through. Pray through does not mean you pray through to God. You are through. You're seated with him in the heavenlies. It means you pray something from those blessings in the heavenly realm down into the seen realm, from the unseen to the seen. And so he said, there's a church I want you to birth in Oklahoma. So she moved. They moved everything. They moved the washer, the dryer, everything with him with a broken arm. And she didn't have any money to move. But God would show her what to do. She said it was like a three-way conversation. I would go before the Lord. He would tell me what to do. I would tell Horace. We would do it. And they got in the car and they moved up to Oklahoma. And then she's looking for this church that God wants her to birth. Well, he told her, I want you to birth a church that in the last days will follow my spirit and not man. And so she went to Tulsa. She it was like that old game, you know, with the kids. You're hot, you're cold. You're hot, you're cold. And she went to churches in Tulsa. Not this, not this, not this. And then she saw that it was Collinsville. So she moved out to Collinsville and she went to all the churches in town that she thought it might be, the Pentecostal denomination that she was of. Every one of those churches she went to, but no, no. And then she drove up. There's only one church left. It was this little French church, this little Quaker church. And they were meeting in a house. And she drove up there and the Lord said, this is it. And she went there. Pastor Cooper Beatty was the pastor. He taught for many years at Rhema. And he will verify this story if you ask him. And she came in there and she said, oh, she said, Lord, this is the most dead place I've ever seen. I can't live here. But the Lord said, this is the place. Well, finally, she just took it. And she said, and it was so dry. And so anyway, one day she escaped and she went down to another Assemblies of God church there in town. And she thought, this is the church I'm from. I know better and I'm going to come here. And she went there and went to Sunday school and she got sick. And what it was is she'd gotten out of the will of the Lord because he wanted this other church birthed. And she said, oh, Lord, if you'll let me live, if you'll just let me live, I'll go down there and I'll stay. But she went down there and she stayed. And then she said, Lord, what can I do? And he said, well, do you ever think about praying somebody else in? And so she prayed others to come in. Well, the next Sunday, my husband Kent and I and our four little children came to that church because we had been baptized with the Holy Spirit, speaking with other tongues. We'd gone to a church in Tulsa for a while, and it got kind of off into heavy submission. Mm-hmm. And someone told me there's a church in Collinsville, which that you can raise your hands there. And we went to that church, and when we walked in that Sunday, God said to Rachel, there they are. Now pray some others in. She prayed some others in, but we were there, and we had our lifelong association with Rachel Tiefenthaler and at that church. And she still was praying about that church and the great move of God that she saw that would be there before Jesus comes. And so now she prayed this kind of a prayer. There are different kinds of prayers. But read for us, Shelley, that Romans 8, 22 through 27.
Okay. Romans 8, 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body.
Verse 25.
Verse 26. Uh-huh. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered.
And the next one.
And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God.
According to the will of God. There is a way to pray. This, as we said yesterday, Shelley had looked up that word in the Bullinger Bible, and he said this word is infirmity. It's one infirmity, and it means shortcoming or weakness. And the Bible tells us what this infirmity is. We know not what to pray for as we ought. And I'm going to read to you from Brother Hagin's book, Tongues, that we've been offering. Brother Hagin says, sometimes to understand, he says, Paul said, for we know not what to pray for as we ought. Our prayer weakness is that we don't always know what we should pray about. And then he says, there's no way in the world for us to know everything there is to know about a given situation. We can only observe circumstances from the natural standpoint. Even those people we pray for may not know exactly how to pray for their needs. You don't even know how to pray for yourself the way you ought to know. Of course, if you're hungry, you know to pray for something to eat. If you're behind in paying your rent, you know to pray for your finances, but you don't know the future. Sometimes you don't even know underlying conditions that are causing your problems. And unless God shows you, you can't see into the spirit world and observe the activity of demons that may be coming against you. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." There are evil powers trying to work behind the scene against us. So in order to be effective, we have to deal with those unseen forces in prayer. These are some of the reasons why we don't know how to pray as we ought to pray. For example, we may know something about a trial a fellow Christian is going through, and we may know to pray that God would bless them and help that person, but beyond that, we may not really know how to pray about the matter according to God's perfect will. But thank God the Holy Ghost does. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that He helps us here, and He helps us with groanings, likewise, just exactly like they had made groanings above. We're going to talk about those groanings tomorrow. We're going to talk about a burden in prayer that you could have for others, a supernatural way of praying. We're going to talk about Rachel Tiefenthaler because she's just recently gone to be with the Lord, around 90 years old. And thinking about her in a great place that she occupied, I would call her and see what she's praying about for this world, for the president. She prayed with me just a few days about the upcoming election before she went to heaven. Now, we have three what we call prayer classic series with Rachel Tiefenthaler teaching on praying in the Holy Ghost and praying this special way. And there's Let the Holy Ghost Have Complete Control, 2 CDs, God's Watchman, 2 CDs, Tongues of Fire, 5 CDs. These normally sell for $36, $48. We're letting you have all three of them for $25. So just call and ask for the Rachel Tiefenthaler Prayer Classic Series. Just Rachel. We'll know who you mean if you say Rachel. And the number is 417-336-4877. That's 417-336-4877. We want others to have what I've had, what Shelley's had for all of her life, almost all of her growing up years, great mentors. One of our great mentors is Brother Hagin, and one of our great mentors is Rachel Tiefenthaler. Call today and order your CDs of Rachel Tiefenthaler. Thank you. This is Billy Brim, and we're going to be saying shalom until next time. Shelley, greet the people.
Yes.
Or say shalom.
Shalom.
We'll be back with you next week. I'm going to have Shelley, and we're going to be talking about heaven. Shelley's husband recently moved to heaven, May 26th, 2007, and it was a sudden thing, and she's done a lot of study on heaven, where Rachel has gone, and we're going to talk about it next week. Shalom.